God's really been dealing specifically in my life, particularly since we've been married. I was really lucky to become a Christian at an early age. When I was six, I remember laying in bed one night and feeling really, I don't know if it was fearful or just really concerned, because I didn't understand totally what I'd heard my father talking about in church about becoming a Christian. And I really wanted to understand. And I remember calling him into my room that night. And he explained to me what it meant to become a Christian, and we knelt down beside my bed and prayed. That was a very special night for me, one my father and I still remember and are still very close. And since that time, after that time, I continued to do everything I felt was right to do as a Christian. I wanted to do the right thing. Most of it was religious things involved in the church, because that's all that I knew at the time. When I was a senior in college, I met a crisis in my life. I was facing an uncertain future. I was dissatisfied with the social gospel that I had gotten in the SU, and I didn't really even know why I was so dissatisfied at the time. My roommate started dating the boy I had been dating, and I guess that was just the final blow at the time, because it really hurt my feelings, and I just wasn't sure what God was doing in my life. But within the next year, he really began to show me that he did have a direction and began to show me what it was. And within the next year, I met Barry. And I thought, here I have met all the wonderful answers to my problems. Well, it took about a week after we had gotten married to realize that the Lord had just, you know, brought in a new force in my life that was going to really change me. We went to Squaw Valley, California, 1 week after we'd been married, to be summer missionaries for the summer. And this was a wonderful opportunity for Barry. We went to a church with no people. You know, and this was just great for him. You know, he was going out to win the whole area. And we had to go find all the people. We had no people in our church, because it was where they had the Olympic Games. It was a beautiful building, but just no people. So we were out knocking on doors and tent flaps. And I was just scared to death. I hated every minute of it. And immediately I began to feel real inferior. I was also jack of all trades at the church. I was the organist, which is not saying a whole lot. I just barely could play the piano. And after the first week of playing the prelude, Barry suggested we use records for the prelude. This is another blow to my ego. But anyway, I had all kinds of jobs. I had to type up the bulletin, and I couldn't, and mimeograph, and I had no secretarial skills, so this took a better part of my week, and I had to clean up the place. It was just, and also Barry had invited everybody we knew to come visit us out in California, and they did. They came, all friends of his, all males, and his family came, so we had company traipsing in all summer. I didn't know how to cook, so it was just, you know, a really hard time for me. And all the differences that had not been obvious before we got married immediately appeared. And I just had not been prepared for that at all. I was just so upset. I thought, we are just doomed. First couple of Southern Seminary to go back after one summer here, really, you know, on the verge of divorce. And it really scared me, because my family had been such a peaceful family, and I'd never seen any kind of strife between my parents. And I just wasn't sure about all this. But in the years that followed, and in particular in the last few years, I've been able to see why the Lord put us together, because as Jack was saying last night, I've really seen how he's used both the differences in both of our lives to really mold me into who he wants me to be. Specifically in some areas, because Barry is very aggressive and self-confident, and I'm not that way. I'm shyer and a coward, really, and a lot of times. The Lord has really used him to give me more boldness, and at times he's used me to temper some of his aggressiveness. And also, Barry's very creative, and I'm the more logical, practical one. He has all these wonderful ideas, you know, and I immediately tell him how they can't work. But the Lord has really used that, too, because Barry's been able to give me a vision that, you know, I would tend not to have. And I feel like I've really been able to help him to organize some of the wonderful creative ideas that he has there, which has really been good. You know what I mean. And also, this is a big area, is in the area of discipline, because he is a very disciplined person, and I hate every minute of anything that's disciplined. And physically and spiritually and every other way. And I really resisted his assistance in this area for a long time. And the Lord's really, this week, but even before this week, has just, you know, really shown me how he can help me with that. So that's another difference that's been used by God to shape us both. Another problem that I had after we got married for a while was finding my role. And I don't know if any other wives have ever had this problem, but I sure did. You know, I guess I felt jealous because I was not involved in doing all the great and wonderful things. I wasn't, particularly after we came to Atlanta and he was traveling a lot and was not there, I was at home. I felt almost left out because I wanted to be a part of all these great and glorious things. I felt like my position, well, I really had a hard time just finding where I fit into to his plans, as it said in 1 Peter 3. But in the last year, the Lord has really given me a real excitement about my primary role right now being in our home, that this is where he's called me for right now, especially while we have young children. And he's given me an excitement about being a mother and about being creative in the home. And the ability to take care of a lot of things that I need to take care of because Barry does travel. And just realizing that has really helped me a lot. And I think the most wonderful thing that's happened to me in the last few months, as I was sharing with some of the wives yesterday, is that the Lord's just given me a real understanding of what it means to rest in him. And, you know, I found out when I can do that, then I don't have to be uptight. And I don't have to resist Barry's leadership. I realized that's what I was doing. It seemed crazy to me that I would do that, to have a husband that was willing to lead, and yet I just was resisting that. But I was, and I feel like since the Lord's really been working in my life and I've really had a new hunger for him, that he's given me the ability to rest in him and then to really rest and let Barry take over the leadership. So I'm excited that the Lord has used him in my life, even though at times I didn't understand the struggles that we were having in that area. So I'm thankful for him.
Amen. Get her unhooked there. My wife is a marvelous person, and if you haven't gathered that already, I'm excited about being married to her. I feel like I want to say some more things about that in a few moments, but honey, I really appreciate you a lot. And the Lord has been working in our lives a whole lot in the last several years. I've always had a desire to do what God wanted me to. I don't think I had very much insight at times into exactly what that was, and sometimes I was disobedient to what He wanted me to do when I did know. But God's been working in all that and really sharpening my desire to get to know Him. And I guess the one verse that would summarize my testimony and my relationship to Him as it's been growing over the past several years and months would be John 14:21, which Jesus says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he's the one who loves me, and my Father will love him, and I will love him." And then he says, "And I will reveal myself to him." And I suppose that in understanding more and more of God's love and forgiveness of my life, I've really tried to obey him, and he's been teaching me a lot about obedience in terms of my own life. I think the dam really broke about 3 years ago when we were at Ridgecrest at this type of conference. And I don't know whether the dam's really broken for you yet or not, but at that point, I had to come to some conclusions about my own life. It started with just one little thing that had been plaguing me for months that I had not been able to admit, that I refused to face up to and wanted to keep it out there hazy and vague so that I would not have to deal with it. And so... when we were at Ridgecrest and the speaker was sharing some things with us, it just became very obvious that the one thing that was blocking my relationship to God and causing loneliness and unhappiness and frustration and a lot of things like that was the problem that I'd had back in college that I really hadn't faced up to and really hadn't dealt with in a very clear way. And so I had to come to face that problem. I'd cheated in school back when I was in college, and boy, I just never could admit that was really wrong before the Lord and call sin sin. And at that point, I did that. I found courage to admit it to the Lord, and to admit it to myself and to confess that to Carol, and then to share before a group like this that that was true in my life, that that was sin, and that even though I was supposed to be the leader of this particular conference, the truth of the matter was that there was a lot of sin in my life that was really blocking my relationship to God. So that really is what caused the dam to break in my life. And since that time, this really seems to have come just an openness that one little confession began to bring. And God has taken that and continued to work in my life. Now, out of that, He's brought a couple things. One is a continual repentance. I was repentant, I think, probably for the first time in my life at that point, to the place where I was a broken individual. And then, from that point, a continual obedience. And the thing I'm discovering is that repentance is not an act that takes place at one particular point in time, but it is an act that continues to take place time after time after time as God continues to work in our lives. And the result of that repentance is that God brings us to the place of a desire for deep obedience to Him. In several areas where this has taken place, let me just mention them to you. One is in the area of suffering and death. Just this last year, I was up in Washington, D.C. I'd known that a friend of mine that I ran track with in high school had cancer. And they told me that he didn't really look too good, too well when I was going up there. And when I got there, that was true. And I walked into his room and was really devastated by what I saw. Here was a guy who was strong and healthy with me in school, and here he was really on his deathbed. And as I went to talk with him, I had asked God even before if he couldn't be healed. And I really never understood why he couldn't be healed. I don't understand to this day why he couldn't be healed, quite frankly. I prayed with him. He said, Barry, the only thing he could say, just whisper, Barry, pray with me. I prayed with him and shared some scripture with him and held his hand and told him what he had meant to me and walked out of that place really a devastated person. I went across the hall and talked with his mother. And as we talked, the conversation came around to God and she knew where I stood with God. And she said, Barry, she said, why? Why does this have to happen? She said, where is God? Where is God? And at that time, the only thing I could say to her was, He is here. But God really spoke to me after that, when I left that place. And the thought occurred to me, God, in that wretched hospital room, was the same place He was 2,000 years ago, to the day when His Son Jesus was nailed to the cross. And boy, that was a significant insight to me, because I began to realize I really didn't have to understand. I didn't have to understand. I didn't have to know why. All I could know and knew was that God really loved me, and He really loved her, and that He was really in control, and that if I would really acknowledge Him as being in control as the Lord, then He would teach us all out of obedience. And so God began to teach me obedience out of that, even though not understanding and not having a clear concept at all of what God was trying to bring out of that, and still not understanding that, I began to realize that that God really is in control. And that was one area where God's really been working in my life and bringing me to obedience. Another area is in the area of being defensive. I have been a lot of times in the past a very defensive person. I don't know whether you guys are like this or not, but I always like to be right. You know, I don't know whether you've ever experienced that or not, but I have really been asking the Lord to deal with me in some areas of my life, like being on time and some things like that, where God, I know He's trying to deal with me in my life, and yet I began to realize that when people would speak to me about those things, I really got defensive about them. You know, somebody would say something about being on time, boy, I just get really uptight about it, and all my friends over here bowing their head because they know they've said that to me a lot of times. And my father-in-law, when they were playing paddleball, and I just got, you know, I was not hitting the ball like he thought I should, and he helped me to understand how I should hit the ball, and that really made me defensive. And Carol always tells me when I speak too long, like she'll probably do when I get through here, like she tells me, she always feels free to really criticize me when I speak. And like this afternoon, she said, "Boy, you know, when you stood up there this morning," she said, "you really say a lot." And the thing I had written down just before she said that was, I was writing these notes down, and I said, "I really say a lot." And that's one reason I'm defensive. And so she said that right after I'd written it down, you know. And so the Lord has really, really helped me to see what a defensive person I am. And the thing he's helped me realize is not that I need to be less defensive so much as that he wants to go even beyond that and bring me to the place where I accept criticism as helpful to my life, as something that God's trying to point out. But even not even that, even going beyond that, in obedience to the Lord, to seek out people's criticism and ask them to show me the blind spots that are in my life so that I can learn and grow from those things. That's difficult for me to do, but the Lord is really teaching me obedience in that area of my life. Another area is in my relationship to my wife. Well, I just had a hard time for a long time really accepting her. When we dated and were engaged and everything, we were just so in love, and I don't know what happened. I guess it was the, I think I'd probably trace it back to those bunk beds that were in our first place there in Squaw Valley. We walked in that thing and we looked over there and there were bunk beds and we'd been married a week. And I don't know whether we can trace it back to that or not, but for some reason, after we got married, I really didn't accept Carol for who she was, and for a long time did not do that. And I remember just a couple years ago when we were in Switzerland, I was reading Jack's book, One Home Under God, and that concept of mutual submission, I read that. Never occurred to me that I needed to submit to her. Never occurred to me that I needed to accept her for who she was. I thought that she was wrong. She needed to do some things. I mean, you know, there were plenty of things wrong with her, and she should straighten them out if she was really going to be a good wife. And God, right there in the bed reading that night when we were in Paris, France, coming from Switzerland, I began to realize that I really hadn't accepted her for who she was. And at that point, just by faith, I began to accept her. I never wanted her to wear glasses like she wears, you know. I never accepted that about her. And God has just been working in my life to such a degree that, boy, it really doesn't make any difference. You know, who in the world ever wanted, as a preacher, to marry a girl who was going to become a fat preacher's wife? You know, I never wanted to do that. And my wife has never been fat. But the thing about it was, I always used to try to get her to exercise. And I'm an exercise freak. You probably see me running around my little green suit and this week. And I'm just an exercise freak. And I never accepted her that she wouldn't do those things with me. I mean, she ran with me when we were in the seminary. And then after we got married, she quit. As soon as we got married, she quit. And she never ran a day after that either. And I really didn't accept those things about her at all. I had a love for her, but I never accepted those things about her. And God began to just, at that point, and when we were in Paris, just to accept her and to submit my life to her and just to love her. And, you know, that's not just a one-time thing that you do, I found, but I find sometimes the feelings cropping up in me when I really don't accept her for who she is. I just say, God, continual reception. Not just one-time acceptance, but continual acceptance of who she is as a person. And boy, God has just given us such a deep love for one another and has been working in our relationship to such a degree that it's become a beautiful, beautiful experience to be married to her and for her to be my best friend and for us to share in that relationship to the Lord together in our lives. We're not all there yet, but the Lord is really working in my life and in her life to really make that take place. One other thing that I want to share with you that the Lord's really been dealing with me recently on, and that is in the area of possessions. I have been disobedient in that area several times in my life. I've always had everything I wanted as I grew up. And I began to discover that the chief characteristic of a selfish life, which I am very, very much by nature, the chief characteristic of that is that you want to possess things and people and relationships. And just recently, I've been able to come to the place where God has really spoken to me about that and helped me to begin to root out a sense of possessing. I was reading Tozer's book, The Pursuit of God, and I read this chapter on possessing and really couldn't pick it up for a couple of weeks after that. I read the story of Abraham and Isaac and how God just took Isaac and just wrenched him out of Abraham's life. His only son, the son that God had given to him after so many years, and he just wrenched him out of his life. And as I read that that account of what Abraham, what God had done in Abraham's life, I began to realize that I had had a real fear in my life for my three-year-old little boy. Well, that I just loved him so much that I really couldn't trust God with him, and that I possessed him, and that I kept him for my own, and that I really couldn't give him over to God, to allow God to do with him what he wanted to in his life. I'd committed him to the Lord before he was born. I'd committed him to the Lord all the way along, and yet that fear was deep down inside of my life. And boy, just by faith, a couple of weeks ago, I came to the place where I was able to just take my little boy, my three-year-old little boy, and just lay him on my altar and allow God to take him and trust him into God's hands, allow God to have him, and just for God just to wrench him out of my life and take him away. And begin to realize that in obedience, the joy that God can bring from that kind of trust and that kind of obedience to him in my life. The thing I begin to realize is that about possessions is that God wants to take that out of our selfish lives and just wrench it away and out of my life. And he wants us to realize the principle that he who possesses nothing owns everything. And I begin to realize that when I would give my little boy the most precious possession in my life, that God would take that and take it away from my life and take it into his hands and I could trust him with it. And he's given me a real peace about being away from my son, my daughter, about the peace that the perfect peace that he can give when we really trust in him. God's been working in terms of obedience in my life. He's got a long way to go in terms of dealing with me to make me more and more in his image. But I really have a deep desire, a deep, deep desire to know him. And out of the love that he's shown for me and the smallness of that I've experienced because I am so selfish, that God wants to take that love that he's shown for me, that love that I'm experiencing, and bring it to the place where I am totally obedient, cold-bloodedly obedient to him day by day. The prayer for my life in the future is that God will just continue to make me that way, make me more the person that he really wants me to be.